Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. Today I have with me Hanako.
Hey.
Stephanie.
Hey there.
And Charles.
What up, though?
And today, even though I sound chipper, we are the news. Our man, Chadwick, which is, I'm pretty sure, I want to tease him like he's family. Like, Chad, come on. No. From Black Panther, who played King T'Challa, has passed away from colon cancer that he's had for 4 years. He passed away last night around 10 o'clock. It was very unexpected. When I saw the news, I was with somebody and he was like, Black Panther died. And I was just like, well, I don't understand. What do you mean? What, I don't get it. What are you talking about? That doesn't make sense. And then it took a while for it to sink in. And it's like 2020 is the gift that keeps on shitting on you. So, somebody jump on in. Charles, what you got?
Yeah, that was me last night. As usual, I got to work. One of my friends on the other side of the plant texted me like, Black Panther's dead. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, the actor, he's dead. I'm like, the internet always lied. So I jumped on Twitter and CNN. And I was like, holy crap, what? Mm-hmm. Dang. And then I started telling somebody on the line, and we was like, what the hell? Yeah, like, and come to find out, he had it for 4 years. Only his family knew, and probably Marvel. But he didn't want the public to know. And he was still doing movies while he was battling cancer. So
like
he was
his
a strong
whole to do all was while he was sick.
Because Black Panther came out in 2018. That means he would have
that he was in Captain America Winter Soldier, and he was apparently sick then too, and it's like, I don't know. First of all, who told y'all that the way that they told y'all, they suck. Because anybody who can pass along that kind of news, knowing what kind of fangirls and fanboys that we are and Marvel fans and stuff, for them to pass that on so nonchalantly, they don't understand.
No, this guy understood. He was in shock. He was in shock because he's a nerd boy too. And he was just like, It came on his phone. He showed me his phone. Like, he learned, and like a second later I learned. And we were just like, what? So there was some shock in people telling, because it's just like, you know.
I've seen some of the way other people have been, you know, told, and it's just, I'm just like,
I'm used to it now.
I'm not, because people.
Well, because that's how I found out. My mother died. I found that at work. My brother kept calling me and texting me, and I was like, what the heck? And then I called him back. He told me, hey, mommy's gone. And then I was at work, starting work, and I kept seeing all these missed calls and texts. And then I answered them. They was like, you need to come home. Kevin's dead. I'm like, what? My son was dead. And then I last night and get all these text messages about Black Panther. I'm like, why do I go to work to find out the people then?
Because
you're laughing with you.
Your time. That's laughing with you,
not at you, man.
My daughter was the one who called me because she hadn't seen me post anything about it. So she was like, she called me. She was like, yo, I'm like, what? And she was like, did you hear about Chadwick Boseman? And I'm thinking, like, you haven't heard anything about him being ill or whatever. So I'm just thinking, okay, maybe he got a different role. You know, but I'm sitting here thinking it's like...
People suspected.
I understand that, but still it's kind of like, I guess because people were always talking about his weight loss and how he was looking different and stuff. I'm one of those people, it's like I noted it mentally, but at the same time, it's kind of like, if he hasn't said anything, that's none of my business. And that's just kind of how I look at things nowadays, because a lot of people are private like that. They don't share that kind of thing, especially with people that are not close to them. I mean, if you look through all of the tributes of the people who worked with him, the people who were close to him, I mean, on a professional level, most of them didn't even know.
So to me, it's a miracle that it didn't get leaked. That's a miracle to me, that everybody who was taking care of him pretty much kept it under wraps. And maybe they didn't. It was a total shock to me. My sister said, oh my gosh, the guy from Black Panther died. And I thought, okay, what, you know, kind of B-list actor that I don't remember died? You know, like, I didn't expect, you know. And then when it was from cancer, you know, I didn't even go to overdose or something like that, which, you know, is what you kind of jump to when it's a shock like that. But when it was, wow, he had cancer for 4 years. I was just completely floored. I mean, I completely understand why they would keep it under wraps. I mean, this is this guy's livelihood. It's what he wants to do. Weight gain and weight loss in an actor's career isn't really that.
Right.
Isn't really that, you know, notable, really, if they could be preparing for a role or something. And so, I don't know. I feel like good for them. Good for them for keeping that private and letting this man, you know, just excel at what he does and leave the legacy he has led or left.
Yeah. I think that also speaks to him as a person, that nobody, like, nobody opened their mouth. You know, those who did know, even if they did know, you know, people professionally, people personally, people who may have just passed him in the street or may have been, you know, close to him in other ways. You know, he's a celebrity. We don't know what kind of home life he has. So, you know, you always have people who have, like, hired help spilling secrets and doing this and doing that. And just like you said, it just came out of nowhere for a lot of us. And I think that also speaks to the character of who he is as a person. He probably just looking through the Twitter feed and all of the tributes to him, and just if you followed him as an actor, just seeing the kind of charity work he did not seem like the type of person who wanted focus on himself. Even when he was receiving accolades, when he was receiving awards, when he was receiving praise, he was very quick to kind of deflect all attention from himself to the people that surrounded him, the people that worked with him, the people that were behind the scenes. So it seems like that's the type of person that he was that would inspire that kind of loyalty, to where people are like, okay, he's sick, but he doesn't want people to know, so we're just going to shut our mouths and let him live his life and let him do things. And I mean, from the way we looked at it from the outside looking in, he didn't miss a beat. This man has stage 3 cancer for a long time, and he filmed all of his Marvel film, five different films he appeared in as Black Panther. He filmed all of those. He did his charity work. He did other amazing movies. And it's like every time you saw him in the press, he had a smile on his face. He always was speaking highly of someone. He was a team player. He was just, it seems like, an all-around good guy. And it kind of, it makes me sad, not just because he's a celebrity, but I mean, just even in everyday life too, when we see people who are like the best of what this world has to give, and those are the people that we end up losing, and we get stuck with crap, you know, who continue to live on until they're like 80s and 90s and whatever, and all they do is, you know, just bring so much negativity to this world. So to lose someone like this just so suddenly, with no preparation, and just no, it was a huge shock. Like, I sat last night when my daughter told me, I literally stopped what I was doing. I think I was rewatching something, Vampire Diaries, I think. And I just stopped everything. And I went on Twitter, I went on Instagram, and I literally spent 4 hours just going through everyone's tweets and posts. And it was just, I'm still in shock. Like, it took me a full 3 hours of going through stuff, and then I finally, like, started. It hit me, and I started crying, and then I stopped, and I started looking at everyone else's trip. I mean, it's just one of those weird things. It's like, that was not news I was expecting to hear, especially from someone so young. He's younger than I am. So it's, you know, and a lot better physical shape than I am.
Right, yeah.
Like, how does this happen? Like, you know.
What'd you say, Charles?
No, I remember I was listening to the Black Tribbles, and they were talking about he was on a couple like shows and stuff, and they're like, why he look so small? It's like, oh, maybe he lose weight for a role. And then he was on the Five Bloods on Netflix, and I was like, oh, so he lost the weight to play that role in Five Bloods, because he's playing this Vietnam soldier in the jungle. I was like, oh, so now he can get beefed up for Black Panther. Not knowing, no, that wasn't why he lost the weight.
You know, Charles, the fact that you mentioned him in the same sentence with your mom and the loss of your son, it just speaks highly to how you thought of him. And, you know, you've lost so much.
Because I heard about him the same way I heard about them. I was like, why I gotta keep my people when I'm at work?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry you had to go through that, man.
And then all the Black guys at work, we kept going up to each other, and we're like, you hear what happened? You hear what happened? And we was talking to each other like, we lost a brother or we lost a son.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. No, it's like, yeah.
I just, there was...
give it up. He was battling it for 4 years and did all these movies, like, and he, like, his last movie was the Five Bloods on Netflix. I was like, damn, you strong, dude.
No, he actually has one other Netflix film coming out later on this year. He just rapped on it. I gotta look and see, but yeah, he did another movie.
Okay.
That's gonna be coming out later on this year. So yes. Yeah.
So, you know, I was running through all my thoughts about him. And one of my thoughts that I felt that was the strongest is that I don't want them to replace him as a character. Maybe they can make him die, or I don't know what they're going to do with his character, but they can't replace him. He's always going to be the king, and I never want them to do that. I don't know how they're going to do that, but...
They might do like the comics and say, when in the comics, when he was gone and his sister Shuri took over as Black Panther and she was running Wakanda. And I was like, but if people going to come out to see a movie with Shuri as a Black Panther?
Yes.
I don't know, but I think
if they do like a TV show on Disney Plus with her as Black Panther, that might work.
Yeah, I liked what you shared with us yesterday, Charles. You shared a meme of him saying, in my culture, death isn't the end.
Yeah.
And I really hope that they run with that. And just because I feel like I feel like this year is the year of people dying too soon. And man, what a role model taken away just too soon, you know?
He wasn't just Black Panther. He played Jackie Robinson. He played
James Brown.
I hope they have some more footage of him that I haven't seen.
The iconic Black male guy in Black American history. I'm like, who are you going to play next?
Yeah. I think the other thing too, I was talking to a friend of mine. I have a friend who is like one of my geek brothers. Me and his wife, we used to work together, and you know, our kids kind of grew up together, and that's been like they have been my Marvel movie buddies. Like when the big movies come out, that's who I go to see it with. And, you know, Black Panther was such a huge thing for that family. So it's like he was one of the first people I thought of when I heard this. And so he and I messaged back and forth last night, and just, you know, not only with him, but with also, you know, other geek friends or whatever, you know, for those of you who have paid attention to our podcast, you know, it's approaching Dragon Con, you know, time of the year. And this is the time of the year when we're usually all together. And it's just so weird to think that we are going through something as massive as this in fandom, something that, like, literally the last few years since Black Panther hit the screen, like, you go to Dragon Con, you see so many Black Panthers of all ages. You see mm-hmm. the little kids dressed as Black Panther. And to know a character and an actor who had that kind of impact, and it's like next weekend, Dragon Con is happening virtually, so we can't even grieve or mourn the way that we would as a collective or as a fandom, because we're all individually quarantined in our homes. We can't sit there and hug each other. And, you know, it's just, it's a really, really, like, 2020 is just like one of these, it's like a Twilight Zone type of year. It's kind of like we just can't do anything. Yeah. Properly. Like, we can't even grieve and celebrate a person properly, not just with Chadwick and, you know, celebrities or whatever, but just even personally. Like one of my friends from high school passed a couple of weeks ago, and we had to have her wake last week, and it was very, you know, you could only go in like six people at a time, and then the funeral was an online funeral, like we couldn't mm-hmm. even attend. Yeah. Just the way that
so many online funerals
in this year is just so weird. But to think of something big in fandom, and we can't, like, this is how we have to talk about it and grieve, because we can't even be with each other to, like, reminisce, or, you know, it's just, it's so weird, and it's so hard. It just kind of makes it harder. Yeah, it is. But it makes this so much harder. It makes the grieving process for anything harder. And I mean, he's not the only big name that we lost this year. Like, we've lost some really, really big names this year since COVID hit. And it's like, just
not even big names. I was talking to my buddy in Detroit, and his nephew died. He couldn't even go to the funeral. Right. And then my cousin down here, person in New York died, and they can't go up to the funeral because New York has a lockdown for anybody that comes from the South.
Yep.
And then Daryl, who used to be on our podcast, he's still welcome, but his mom just passed too, and he's doing that all alone. And he told me a little bit about his mom, that she had participated in, she was like the first Black woman in something, and I need to find out what that is, but he was very proud of her. And it just, it's like, I wanted to, you know, I'm in town, I wanted to go there and be for him, but it's probably going to be an online funeral or whatever. And like, it's just
sucks.
Yeah,
in simple terms, it sucks.
Yeah, I asked him how he's doing. He's like, hey, I'm holding on, I'm doing all right. I'm like, okay, yeah. Just checking on you. He's like, yeah. I'm doing
okay.
I had to sing at somebody's funeral. I didn't know him while he was alive, unfortunately. But he heard me sing at church and put it in his kind of last wishes that he'd want me to sing at his funeral. And he, you know, he died of COVID, and it was, you know, funerals are just sad, even if you don't know the person, because you kind of get to know the person through their loved ones. But with COVID, it's so hard. Everybody, it was all virtual, and like, I'm crying a little, I'm mourning, you know, just a little bit of everything when Hanukkah was talking about how we can't even see each other. And man, this is the year that I really wanted to see you guys again. There's something that just heals my heart when I see you guys in person. And Dragon Con for me means a lot. It just, it was a lot for me at really important parts of my life when I get to touch base with you guys, hug you, see you in person.
Yes.
And it's like, man, 2020, I'm calling a redo. I'm refusing, I refuse to age this year. I'm not.
No, gonna... we've all aged 5 years this year.
There's
honestly,
no birthday this year for me, man. I'm getting a redo. And then, it's sad to see so many people lose their lives this year, especially people who had a lot left to give, of course. And then, people in the celebrity spotlight who chose to be very, very brave and live the life the best they possibly could and be a role model. Because, I mean, the kind of role model that Chadwick was, like, that is lasting, and that will be his legacy for, you know, children to come. Children and adults to come. But yeah, like, it makes my heart sad to see a celebrity who doesn't kind of be distracted by fame. You know, he just never went down the wrong path. He, you know, went and was true to himself, and is, and thankfully for everybody, his true self was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Like, you never heard one bad thing about him. Never, ever. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you hear about celebrities who are, you know, for the most part, good people, but they may have had a past, or they may have a little bit of this or that. Like, you never heard anything about this guy other than what a great guy he was.
Yeah, he was a college graduate, and he helped out with every type of community service. Yeah, he was a real superhero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he got married in secret too, which I found, like, I didn't even know this lady, and I've never seen her before. And I was like, you got secretly married, and the only reason he'd do that is he knew he was going to go and he wanted to take care of her. How sweet is that? And she, you know, has the spotlight on her now, but she didn't before. And so she had, like, a chance to breathe and, you know, just enjoy him and stuff. And, like, that is that. Wow. It was a lot.
Yeah, but he again, just like with the, you know, his diagnosis, and no one knew it, he seemed like the type of person who really had a handle on keeping his personal and his professional lives separate. And not a lot of people can do that successfully. Yeah. Like, it was just, you know, not only for the, you know, the reason that you mentioned, but I think also when celebrities kind of get married, like, not necessarily in secret, but they just don't publicize it like that. I think also too, it has a lot to do with privacy and, you know, trying to keep her away from negativity, because we all know, we've all been participating in fandom for a long time, and there are some very toxic aspects of fandom, you know, where, you know, people get it in their minds that this person or this character, you know, oh, he's mine. And, you know, once you find out about their real life relationships, people, I've heard horror stories. Like, there's an actor who I've been following for a long time, Jim Beaver. He plays Bobby Singer on Supernatural. And I've actually had a chance to, like, meet him and talk to him and, like, you know, kind of befriend him. And he had to make a post a couple of days ago about one of the toxic aspects of fandom, because he has had, Supernatural fans who have found his personal home address and his phone numbers, and they have shown up on his doorstep and they have called him, and, like, nobody wants to deal with that. Like, he is one of those actors that gives a lot of himself to his fans. Like, he engages the fans every day on his social media and at conventions. He's very open. He's very, you know, he's very accessible. So the fact that you would overstep your bounds and show up on his front door, like that. That's just crossing the line. And I think for, you know, maybe for someone like Chadwick, when he decided to get married, he did that in secret to protect his wife and his family from those kinds of fans, because unfortunately they do exist. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for him for that, you know, not, you know, I guess just putting his family first in that sense, and just finding that line, and able to, you know, being able to kind of keep things separate professionally and personally. Like, not too many people can do that. So the fact that he did that and was able to live both of his lives the way that he wanted to and on his terms, you know, that's no small feat.
Yeah. Being so private probably helped him live longer, yeah. Honestly.
Right. That's like he. That's like Hugh Jackman, too. I remember people was talking junk about him when he became famous, and they seen what his wife looked like, and they was like, that's your wife? Oh.
She's fine. Yeah, right? I remember that, too.
But that happens to a lot of celebrities, you know?
He was like, hey, this woman been with me before I became Wolverine and everything. We have kids together. Screw y'all.
Yeah, so true.
The supermodel, like, this woman been with me from the beginning. Screw y'all.
Yeah, but you know, it's just kind of like too with the fans. Most of the times when they envision who somebody is supposed to be with or whatever, it's always a superficial thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah. You know, it's kind of like if you really knew who this celebrity or this person was that you claim to be a fan of or claim to admire. You will respect whatever choices they make in life, because guess what? It's none of your damn business who they chose or why they chose them.
But you know what, too? There's just a lot of growing up that I think us on the internet has done. I feel like we've grown a lot, and maybe some of the fans have gotten a little less. I know I used to be a shit talker publicly about a whole bunch of like actors and actresses till I realized, like, hey, don't do that. They don't think it's funny. Right. You know, because some people, like actual actors, call me out on it, and I don't think people realize what they do. So I think, for the most part, I think the shock, like my initial feeling was, how dare him keep that from us? Because I felt the same way when Elizabeth Sladen, who played Sarah Jane on Sarah Jane Chronicles, a spinoff of Doctor Who, she died the same, well, not of colon cancer, but she died of cancer, and she kept it secret for a while. And I was just like, that is traumatic for a lot of people to learn, like, a big hero just gone and we didn't get any warning. However, Hanako, hearing you talk about it, you're right, it's none of our damn business. We don't have any right in these people's lives. We're there to enjoy them on the screen, keep our distance, and good for him for keeping that distance. And and if he does have fans, you know, just leave the girl alone. His wife, she looks like a lovely person. And, you know, people got to grow up and mature. Like, even just because somebody's famous, you got to, you know, just keep draw your own line, too. Yeah. So.
And just like, it was Wally Murphy, too. He was on the show, Black Jesus on Cartoon Network, and I could notice his face was like kind of sunken and everything. I'm like, why Charlie Murphy look so sucked? What's wrong with him? But he never told anybody. Same thing. He had cancer. Only his family knew. He didn't say nothing. He kept doing the show, and then he died. And then they released, oh yeah, he was dealing with cancer, but he didn't want the public to know.
Do remember.
But you could tell.
Yeah, same.
The face was all fucked in. Like, why Charlie Murphy look like that? And the same thing with Chadwick Boseman. It's like, why are you looking like that? I'm like, oh, okay, he losing some weight for this movie role. But no.
Yeah, that's like first thought now when I see an actor have like some kind of weight loss or weight gain or whatever, because a lot of times it is for a role, you know. And you know, years ago I used to, like, I think Christian Bale was like the first one that I can actually remember. Like, he lost so much weight for a movie role like years ago, to the point where he was unrecognizable. And when I first looked at it, I was like, oh my God, he must be sick, blah, 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 blah. Then come to find out it was for a movie role. And I was like, wow, that's like a whole different level of dedication. And then I started seeing that other actors did that, you know, not even just the ones who lost weight, but there are some who gained a whole lot of weight and bulked up, like Hugh Jackman and like Ben Affleck did for Batman. Because like Ben Affleck has always been kind of a lean build, and he got really buffed up for Batman. So I was like, oh, okay. So when I start seeing actors and actresses now who go through those extremes, that's just automatically my first thought now. Yeah. Because again, I've really gotten to the point, it's like, I'll think like, oh, I wonder, are they sick or whatever? But it's one thing that I learned. And again, Kat, it's kind of like you said, we just have to, we have to have, you know, just a different attitude, and we mature and think things differently. It's just like looking at a woman who might be a little heavy in the midsection and automatically assuming that she's pregnant. Like, I didn't realize until a few years ago, like, just how toxic that was, not just because you're commenting on someone's weight, but you may be commenting about someone who has been trying to get pregnant and can't, or has miscarried or whatever. So it's like, kind of like, now it makes me mad when I read like entertainment articles or tabloids, and they're, you know, always,
I can't do tabloids anymore.
You know, somebody's pregnant, this person is pregnant, even going through the supermarket and looking at things like
somebody lost baby weight.
Right. Or even, oh, it's some such and such is pregnant, such and such is expecting, like immediately after they get married, it's like you start seeing the tabloids. When are they going to have a baby? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's none of your business. You don't know what these people are dealing with. Like, especially personally, I have so many friends who have been dealing with infertility issues or miscarriages. And you really don't, a lot of people tend to think that when it comes to celebrities and pop culture, for some reason, they look at celebrities on a different level. It's like, people have this thing where they forget that these are, that before they were a celebrity, before they were an actor, these are people. These are human beings living the same lives that we are, maybe under different circumstances, but a lot of them deal with the same struggles that we deal with. And just because they have money and accolades and this, you know, this sense of celebrity, that doesn't make them any different. They don't hurt any less. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you got to get to a mindset where you stop making assumptions about people just because they are in the private, you know, public eye. Still, they are humans. They deserve the same amount of respect. They deserve the same amount of privacy. And it's just, it's an attitude that really does kind of need to change, you know.
I'm glad people are talking about it more, you know. So I think maybe because people do talk about, like, even at cons when they're like, hey, don't, you know, touch women, even though they're dressed like a character and it may be skimpy, still you don't have a right to touch them, you don't have a right to judge, you don't have. And I think just this talk, things are getting better because people are learning, like, hey, you know what, I can buy my business and let me respect this person. And there's something about the screen between you and this person that's standing on screen that kind of gives people a disconnect. I know I could have felt like that in the past. And but then when you just come to it, like you said, you know, Hanako, get over yourself. These are people. Calm the fuck down. You're a celebrity yourself, you know. So anybody can.
Steph, so next time, Steph, when you come to Dragon Con and you can be half naked, I got your back.
She don't need you. She don't need you. She got it.
I don't remember anybody in Mad Men being half naked, like any Mad Men characters.
You said next time you come to the Dragon Con, you can be half naked. That's what you told me. You like
half naked for Stephanie is just like wearing a knee-high skirt, right?
It's not wearing a sweater. Half naked is not wearing a sweater. But, all right, Charles, I will take you up on that. Thank you.
So another thing I thought about the loss of Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman, was this year has been a lot. I'm going to bring it to race for a bit. This year has been a lot for people of all races. However, to lose something like him who represented like the beauty of what it can mean to be Black in America, it felt like a blow, you know, to all the already to a fragile psyche, right, and collective. And so, like, how is that gonna, I don't have words.
When the movie came out, and me and my wife went to the theater to see it, and it's the theater that they have a full bar and everything. So when we went there, people was in dashikis and had they and all. I'm like, dang. They're hanging out at the bar like they're at the club, and all the guys trying to buy women drinks. Like, hey, girl, you want to take this? Dang, this movie just brought everybody, and everybody just was like, hey, yeah. You think a Black movie can make $1 billion? Yeah, if you do it right, it will make $1 billion.
I felt like after that movie, everybody felt like they were Black. Everybody. And so it was just like Wakanda forever for everybody. And
I confess, I did a lot of Wakanda Forevers. I'm sorry. It felt good. It did.
I felt good. White guy yesterday come up to me like, Wakanda Forever. I'm like,
calm down.
Okay, I didn't do them recently, but I did them when the movie came out because it felt really good. Good movie.
Yeah. You did Wakanda Forever?
He gonna tease you.
Yes, I did. I mean, it was awesome. We did it at work. We dressed up as Black Panther characters at work, and it was awesome. No, we didn't. It was awesome. It was a Black Panther tribute. And so we did a lot of Wakanda Forever. Our whole office did it because we're all like computer geeks.
Aww,
yeah, it was
really sweet. That's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, we're having a superhero day next week at work. So I'm like, well, you know what I'm gonna be wearing.
Yeah, well, it's obvious. I feel like everybody's gonna be Black Panther. And you know, another thing I thought made me laugh, I was you know, thinking about coming on and like what we're gonna do and what we're gonna talk about, then I just looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, this damn Chadwick is gonna make me wear some goddamn kente cloth. You know how I feel about kente cloth. not a fan. I was like, this mf gonna have me wearing some damn kente.
Oh my god.
But
I don't know. I hope that since this year sucks so bad, I hope that, you know, this kind of loss that can bring a lot of people together, right? And people who have like needed a hug for a really long time now. Thank you, 2020. I'm hoping that, you know, we can find new ways to connect, new ways to grieve, new ways to respect people's privacy. Since everybody's on a screen right now, you know, maybe that will, I don't know, evoke some kind of empathy that others might not have had if this pandemic didn't happen. And anyway, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for more role models like him. I'm hopeful in general that, you know, once we emerge from this 2020 situation, will be better as people just because of everything that's been going on. And really sad that we lost, you know, truly an icon.
Yeah.
And I hope that in his wake, you know, we can make the world better.
I just hope that people learn from this, especially Black men. Don't be ashamed to get yourself checked.
Good, Charles. I'm glad you said that.
Get yourself checked.
Yeah.
Yeah, early, I guess. Early and often, right?
There's no shame.
He's so young.
Get yourself checked. The sooner the better. There's no shame in it. Because I know, especially being a Black guy, it's like, I don't want nobody sticking nothing up in my butt. But get
get Yes.
Not only that, but take care of yourselves. Because, I mean, think about it. They say he's had cancer the last 4 years. That means he was never in remission. He was sick the whole time. But he had to have been taking care of himself, because you can't do the work that he did if you weren't taking care of yourself. It's like, even though he had this cancer that, you know, eventually proved fatal, it's like, it doesn't appear that he ever had that mindset that he was not going to get over this. So, and he fought through it and he worked through it. And he even visited, you know, if there's like one particular video of him going around where he talks about a couple of kids that had cancer that he kept up correspondence with. And just to rewatch that video now, knowing that he was concerned about these kids having cancer at the same time that he was, he never made mention of what he was going through. It was all about these kids and these other people, you know, just.
It's amazing.
I think he is an example that we can all learn from, just how to live our lives, how to be compassionate about others. And, you know, like Charles said, to have empathy, because I think especially in this year, this 2020 year, I mean, it's been going on for a long time, but this year has become so, so magnified, is that we don't have compassion for each other. We don't have empathy for each other. We're not trying to understand each other. We're not trying to learn from each other. It's a lot of division and a lot of finger pointing and a lot of, you know, selfishness and, you know, just a lot of that feeling going around. And again, I kind of, not that I wish death on anyone, but it's kind of like, you have truly great, amazing people who are doing things for the collective good, and we lose them. And then you have people, you know, going and just, you know, have no concern for other people's lives. And these people are still walking the streets. These people are getting to live years and years and years. Like, we're locking murderers up and they're staying on death row. And we're, you know, our taxpayer dollars are taking care of them until their 70s and 80s and 90s. And it's just, it doesn't seem fair.
It just doesn't. Me angry about that.
Which say, Charles?
I know about that, because the guy that killed my son, he's still sitting up getting 3 meals a day and watching cable TV. And that now, because of Corona, his case won't come up until they told us, because of Corona, everything been backed up. So this case won't come up till after the holidays. So he's still eating good and watching cable TV.
I can't.
My heart's with you, man. That's painful. Ugh.
Pisses me off, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of things happening right now that's pissing me off and making me feel helpless. But I guess I'm just hoping that, like Hanukkah was talking about, just kind of finding a place of empathy and going from there and finding strength from there, which is, you know, in a lot of ways what those kinds of movies are telling us to do, you know, finding our inner strength, teaming up with your friends that are also somehow, you know, this wellspring of superpowers and, you know, I'm sorry that I'm kind of the positive lady right now, but like, I need to be positive, because it's been such a hard time for everybody. And there's so many things to make me mad in the world. What's going to overcome that is, good people, you know, and I can be a good person. I know my friends are good people and we can overcome that.
Yeah,
I think that, you know, for me, when I have this kind of shocking revelation, when someone, when someone, anyone dies, really, it's sad. Like yeah. I was talking about this person, this stranger I didn't even know, but I had an impact on his life and I didn't even know it. And then in death, he had a huge impact on my life and his family yeah. too. Yeah. So, you know, just kind of get through this strange, unprecedented time.
Yeah.
You kind of have to find new ways, you know, to be human and superhuman. Drawing on strong role models like Chadwick Boseman and John Lewis and, you know, so many other people that we've lost this year, drawing on their strength and their message, which is doable. Like, they're, you know, yes, they're celebrities and could use their voice in different ways. They're celebrities, but what they did was manageable and doable as somebody sitting, you know, in your house on your chair right now. You can do it. So that's kind of what I'm going to take with me.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good takeaway. Yeah. Oh, man, so glad we called.
Yeah.
Talk this one through.
Yes.
Yeah.
I cried all my makeup off.
I didn't have any on, so.
Oh, you just woke up that way.
I just cried into my bare face of hideousness.
I've got like streams of tears.
Yeah.
So good to see you all.
You want me to go put some lipstick on?
You should. I'll protect you. Charles, I'll protect you, because the moment you put that lipstick on, there's going to be lots of creepers coming over.
Yeah. My wife would be like, what the hell are you doing?
I wish we could have done Dragon Con. I'm like super sad about it.
I know, but it is virtual. They've already posted the link.
But do you have to pay to get in, or like how to? No,
it's going to be free for the weekend. And then if you want access to everything for the next year, it'll only be $10. And then that way you can stream it on demand. But so they've already been doing some like test panels, or not necessarily panels, but they've been having like e-chats, video chats, just kind of, you know, telling the fans how things are going to work. And there's still panels that'll be scheduled on certain days and times. And they're starting to post those schedules, and they have different streaming options for you. It's going to be on Discord, I think, and YouTube TV, and so they're making the best of a bad situation. I mean, it sucks that we're not going to actually be there. Like, this should have been year 13 for me, and it really sucks, because I have friends who come in from out of state that I only get to see during Dragon Con, and we won't be able to see each other. So that really sucks. You know, some of my best friends come in for it, and that's like our weekend to like really hang out and catch up and just do all the geeky things we love to do. And you know, it's different, but
going to the virtual one is gonna count.
Yeah,
it's gonna count. And we go together. You remind us we're gonna go together, and we're doing it together like we should have done this year. Yeah. Next year, I'm not gonna be so financially strapped. I'm planning on it for next year.
Yep,
so
let's make it happen.
So we can do virtual. What's the spot?
I can't remember what it's called.
Scotch Alley.
We can do a
Scotch Alley.
Virtual Scotch Alley. Oh, that's going to be great.
I want a road trip so I can bring my dog to you guys.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But,
Chadwick.
What you saying?
I said, rest in peace, Chadwick.
Yes, rest in power, King.
Rest in power.
Yeah, did you see that tweet I guess it was, I don't know who did that first, but I just saw Mark Ruffalo like retweet it.
Yeah, that's what I was quoting.
The tribute to him has been really beautiful.
From the movie where he said, when we die, death is in the end.
Yeah. It's not for him. It's not. It's not. And, you know, we thank him for what he's done. We'll see how everything shakes out. I hope they listen to fans and don't replace him and like just pop in another person. That's just gonna not work for me.
No, and it doesn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense really in the universe,
right?
So, and the franchise is used to sudden deaths and shocking, you know, losses or whatever, like with his dad. So I think it would just make sense to say, you know, to mention that he died and have somebody else come.
So Shuri take over as Black Panther.
Yeah. People like her. I mean, people like her, and it would be, I mean, that's like his that's like,
it's a Succession. Seem like
really, yeah, they seem like siblings are real, like they really had a good chemistry, and I think people would go for it. Especially because she's just so funny and stuff, and I think she do him serve a good.
And she's smart than Tony Stark.
Well,
she's so smart too. Like that would be a different story. Like that it would be an entertaining story to see, you know, how she takes her reign, what direction she takes her reign in.
And I would love to see what Paku would think when she takes over. Because, you know, he was pissed about this young girl running.
Yeah, I literally just watched that scene earlier this afternoon. I started watching that.
Every time I see that, I gotta quote it. He's watching you from the mountains. I can't even protect his father.
All right, calm down, sir. So, any final thoughts for our king?
Just rest in peace, rest in power.
Job well done.
Yeah. Thanks for being such a good person.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, you can see us on scifipartyline.com or hear us. Because I, you know, whatever. We're on Twitter at Sci-Fi Party Line. We are at 773-336-2686 on our voicemail. We're on Facebook, Google Plus. I think we're still on Stitcher Radio. We're on, what do you call that one? Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed our tribute. And we will see you at the party in the sky. Wakanda forever.
to what I was mentioning earlier. So the guy who plays Victor Strand on Fear the Walking Dead, he is actually in Chadwick Boseman's last piece. They're doing an adaptation of Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, August Wilson, and it's going to be on Netflix. He's in it, and Viola Davis is also in it.
So, have you heard of this before this, Hannah?
I had heard, like, a brief mention of it, but, you know, if it's not, like, supernatural fantasy, whatever, it's like, I'll hear about it, but it's not really on my radar. So, he posted about it last night. It was like I don't know if you guys can see it. It's like a picture that they...
That's great.
The Strand from Fear the Walking Dead, and then there's Chadwick. And just the tributes that it becomes. If you haven't, like, go look at Angela Bassett's tribute. It was.
I don't know. I don't know if I can handle it today.
That's all I
think. I don't know, Hanako. I might be curling up in a ball, man. I can't. I don't know if I can.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Renner and all the other Avengers.
I haven't seen anything from Denai Guerrero yet, and I haven't seen anything from Letitia.
Just movies.
Huh?
What's the black guy from the Star Wars movies?
I couldn't hear you.
What's the black guy from the Star Wars movies?
John Boyega?
John Boyega. He did some videos of them too. Hanging out after some award show, just partying and carrying on. And this break my heart. I'm like, dang. They was just acting the fool in the video. I'm like, damn.
Robert Downey Jr. posted this little clip.
Oh, damn.
Aww.
Annika, why are you trying to make me cry?
I know, she's killing me right now. She is killing me.
I would kill y'all if I showed y'all this video, this picture.
I was already verklempt.
I know, right?
I'm super emotional.
Yeah, our Hanako needed this. Look at her, she was not okay.
I was in shock yesterday when my daughter called me and she told me, and I was like, because she was like, yo, and I was like, what? She was like, did you hear about Chadwick Boseman? I was like, no, what? She was like, he died. I was like, what? She said, he died.
It doesn't make any sense. I was like, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand.
Yes, that's literally, I was like, he can't be dead. Like, no, he wasn't sick. Like, and I'm sitting here, I was like, you're lying. She was like, Mom, she was like, it's all over the internet now. She was like, I figured you hadn't heard yet. So I'm sitting on the phone with her and I'm going, and she said it's on his official Twitter page. So I think I went to either Twitter or Instagram, and that's when I saw it. And I was just sitting there like, I was like, how can this, like, what?
Yeah.
I got back and I just hung up the phone and I just like literally spent the next like 3 hours just going through everything like, How did this happen? Again, it's just like reading the tributes from everybody, like the people who worked with him and stuff. Like, they even said that they didn't know. Like, James Gunn posted this morning, and he was like, this was such a blow. He was like, he said, it blows my mind to know that Chadwick was sick during the whole duration of our friendship. Like, he kept it to himself.
I have a theory. Feige knew.
The audio is going in and out, though.
I know Feige knew because he's done all the movies. And I kept thinking to myself, why are we getting 3 Spider-Man movies before we can get Black Panther 2? Thinking, we told Feige that, hey, I'm dealing with cancer right now. I don't know if I could do Black Panther 2. And that's why they was like, oh, Black Panther 2 will come out in 2022. But they probably knew he was going to be up to it. Because I was like, why are we getting 3 Spider-Man movies before we get a Black Panther 2?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And then the fact that he passed on Jackie Robinson Day.
No, that was he did. Well, no, that's not right. The Jackie Robinson Day was on April 15th.
No, somebody a lot of people were posting about it yesterday.
Yeah, no, last picture that he posted of himself was on Jackie Robinson Day.
So let's see.
But it was on April 15th because I Googled that last night because somebody else said, and I was like, it's Jackie Robinson Day? And then I Googled and they said it was April 15th.
Mm. Hold on, let's see.
Say it again because it was last night, Anago.
Hold on. Says the Los Angeles Dodgers and Major League Baseball traditionally celebrate Jackie Robinson Day on April 15th every year, which is the day he broke the league's color barrier in 1947. With the 2020 season being pushed back, MLB, Major League Baseball, celebrated Jackie Robinson Day on Friday.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Okay. That makes sense.
Right.
How did I not see that? I Googled it. Yeah,
the reason the league gave for that is August 28th is the anniversary of the March on Washington in 1963, which the Robinson family attended. So that's why they decided to do it.
Oh.
And it says August 28th is also the day in 1945 when then Brooklyn Dodgers executive branch Ricky met with Jackie Robinson to discuss his future in the big leagues, paving the way for him to break baseball's color barrier just a couple of years later. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That clears a lot up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
End of line.